no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. The saving words of the gospel. Please kneel for your prayer for vocations. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to His holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech Thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love Thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve Thy church and to make Thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children.
Choose from our homes those who are needed with our work.
Mary, Queen of the Clergy,
pray for us, pray for our priests and religious, obtain for us and more.
Please be seated. There are the following announcements. I'm very pleased that we have with us today Reverend Mr. Peter Lee, who is a transitional deacon. Today, being the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord, immediately after the sermon, I will bless some grapes. And we have a special blessing of grapes today, and I will explain now why we do that. But first, I will recount to you a matter of great joy that happened quite a long time ago in 1453. In 1453, the great city of Constantinople fell after a siege of 53 days to Sultan Mehmed. The Islamic invasion of Europe began after the fall of Constantinople. And the first place that they made a beeline for was the city of Belgrade, because they were going to invade Hungary. It was all Hungary at the time. And therefore, and after Hungary, then make their way into Europe. And thus began the siege of Belgrade. But the people there prayed, and they fought back. And the siege did not go exactly well for Mehmet, because he got caught in his own devices, and they attacked the Islamic forces that had surrounded Belgrade, and they beat them back, and they drove them in rout in retreat. And with that great victory, once again, Europe was preserved from Islamic invasion. And that was such a great victory that the Pope at the time, Callistus III, brought over into the Western Church an Eastern feast of the Transfiguration. And it was at that time that the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord became a feast in the Western Church, for the Universal Church. This feast that we celebrate today is also a celebration of the defeat of Islam at Belgrade in the middle of the 1500s. All of these things are tied together. Our entire history, the whole history of our Catholic family, the history of the West, the history of Christendom, are all tied together in the Roman liturgy. We can learn so much about ourselves through the study of our holy rites, because we are our rites. This is one of the reasons why I'm so very proud to stand up here on days when we have a solemn mass. These days, all I have to do is say we're going to have a solemn mass, and without big rehearsals and so forth, now we can do it. And this is the fruit of the work of quite a few years. And we do this lovingly and with attention, because we must always remember we are our rites. And celebrating these things reverently, we learn how to be transformed and transfigured in a way by the mysteries which we celebrate. The Lord Himself is the true actor in every word and in every gesture of Holy Mass. And when we attend to these things with active receptivity, ready to receive everything that the Lord wants to give us, then we become strong in our identity. We know who we are, and we can live our vocations properly. One of the reasons why the Lord was transfigured before the three key apostles on the mountain, in this desolate place, in this isolated place, was because He wanted to strengthen them for the crushing that would come, the crushing experience of the Lord's passion that was about to come. He would go to Jerusalem and He would be crushed in a way, almost like a grape would be crushed, and they needed to be strengthened for this experience. They had an outward experience so that interiorly they would be strengthened. What happened? The Lord allowed a little bit of His splendor, just a glimpse of His splendor, to shine out through His human nature through his body for just a moment in order to give them a transforming experience. A cloud descended upon the mountain. Remember how the cloud would descend when God wanted to speak with Moses. And Moses would go into the cloud, into the Shekinah, the presence of the Lord. And then within that cloud, in the presence of the Lord, Moses would be changed interiorly, so that through him exteriorly, when he would come out of the cloud, his face would shine so bright that he had to wear a veil over his face. This is one of the reasons why in Holy Church we use so many veils. We put veils over important things, and unveilings are extremely important in our rites. We put a veil in front of a tabernacle to indicate the presence of the Lord. The veil, more than the light that we light, the candle, is a sign of the presence of the Lord. It's one of the reasons why we put veils over the ciborium in which we have the consecrated hosts. We put veils over things in order to show that the Lord is present, and then when we unveil them, we have a glimpse of mystery, very much like the transfiguration of the Lord, which strengthened the hearts of the apostles in preparation for his passion and their own passion as well. Sometimes I wonder about the reaction that Peter had to this moment. If we look at the Synoptic Gospels, we have an account of the transfiguration, which varies just a little bit. In one of them, Peter is described as blurting out, "It's great to be here," and the gospel says, because he didn't know what else to say. He was so astonished. It was almost like that experience of being in the presence of the splendor of the Lord made him drunk. And that he goes on about, oh gosh, let's set up shrines here because of this great moment, because he didn't know what to say. He was so filled with enthusiasm at that moment. Sometimes I wonder if that isn't the reason why we have a special blessing of grapes on this day. Grapes are not only an eschatological symbol, because they're crushed. You know, we talk about the day of wrath as like the crushing of grapes and the great wine press of the Lord, when all things will be pressed out and so forth. So they're a symbol of the end of the world. But they're also a symbol of the kind of ecstatic, transforming inebriation, spiritual inebriation that we can have in the presence of mystery, when we have an encounter with mystery, like the apostles did. They have this experience and they're shocked, they're transformed, they fall on their faces even. These little signs like blessings of grapes, the tying of feasts to historic events, all of these things remind us not only of who we are as a great Catholic family marching through the centuries toward the eschatological meeting with the Lord, but they also help us here and now, so that when we have our own moments of passion, our own challenges, our own difficulties, we are strengthened in the knowledge that we can go into the transforming presence of the Lord. When you go into the church and you kneel down before the Blessed Sacrament, when you prepare yourself for Holy Communion, you are preparing yourselves for an encounter with the Lord transfigured before you in a very veiled way, under the accidence of bread and under the accidence of wine. Every time you come into Holy Church, remember that you are preparing yourself for a transforming experience. Be ready to receive everything that the Lord wants to give you through your holy rites. And now I will bless these grapes in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Adiutorium nostrum in nomine Domini, Dominus obiscum, oremus. Benedict Domini hos fructus novos vine, quos tu rore celi et abundantia pluriarum, et temporum serenitate aqua tranquillitate.